Welcome to the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR, where we talk to business leaders from around Ireland and share their advice on how to create the HR systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, simply visit www.insighthr.ie/podcast. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Okay, let's get started.
Today on the HR Room podcast, we're going to be delving into the topic of how to drive employee engagement in 2021. I'm joined by a familiar name to you all, Mary Cullen, Managing Director of Insight HR. Hello, Mary.
Hi, how are you, Sarah?
Not too bad, thanks. The sun is after coming out and actually going back in the space of time that I've been awake. But other than that, it's all good. I'm also joined by special guest James Brogan, CEO and co-founder of Pep Talk, an employee engagement platform dedicated to helping businesses achieve a high performance culture. Thanks for joining us, James.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks a million. Delighted to have the opportunity to chat today. Thank you.
Well, we are over the moon to have you join us, James. Perhaps you could kick things off by telling us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Yeah, no problem. Delighted to. So, yeah, I've had a couple of kind of careers at this point. I started off, did commerce, then I moved in and I actually was a solicitor for a year and a half before I kind of had that moment when I was just wasn't sure if I wanted to be a solicitor for the rest of my life. So spent a little bit of time navel gazing after that. And eventually with my cousin and actual business partner at the time, Bernard Brogan, set up a company called Legacy, which is a marketing and communications company based in Dublin. That company is still ongoing. It has 18 full-time staff. Yeah, and it was probably then 3 years ago that we, myself and my co-founders, Michelle Fogarty and Bernard Brogan again, set up Pep Talk. So I've had, a couple of different careers in the last 10 years, but definitely, I guess, I really enjoy, building businesses, I guess, and all that comes with that, from the different parts of, winning business to, helping support and grow the people that are in your business. And so it's been an enjoyable journey so far, and delighted obviously today to tell you a little bit more about Pep Talk and what we do.
Please do. Tell us a little bit more about Pep Talk.
Happy to. So as I say, Pep Talk set up in late 2017, myself, co-founders, Bernard and Michelle. And I guess all three of us had experiences in, the world of work and had seen, challenges with how people were being managed, challenges with general levels of engagement that we felt. Michelle had come from a technology background and had worked in startups such as Twitter and Blizzard, and I guess had seen, slightly more maybe progressive attitudes to how you get the best out of people in those organizations. And myself and Bernard, and actually Michelle as well, had both come from, in addition to the world of work, had seen from a high performance sports arena, I suppose, the importance of how you realize the potential of people, and how by embedding more people-centric approaches and taking care of the whole human, that you can actually get more from people. And sports teams have recognized this for a long period. So what you do on the pitch is one thing, or on the, in your arena, but then it's like what you do outside of that to help you get better at what you do. And I think we found in our experiences, I think across the industries the three of us were working in, that business leaders were very curious as to how to drive more, marginal gain in what they're doing. How do they get more out of their people? How do they engage them? And obviously the world of work is going through a transition. And I think how we get the best out of people is a subject, I suppose, that's very topical right now. And I suppose the spotlight has been shone on culture in organizations more than probably any time in the past. And we're experiencing a really rapid acceleration in how, how the world of work is going to look, and how we're going to manage people, and how we're going to get the best out of them. And it's a really kind of interesting time, I think, for HR professionals to be kind of considering how to build a strategy around their people that can get the best out of them, while potentially they're not all going to be in the one office. So we're definitely entering into a different world when it comes to the workplace. And I think that presents, you know, challenges, but I think also opportunities, you know, also opportunities to, you know, for us tangibly representing culture through, you know, platforms like Pep Talk, enabling organization from in terms of well-being and engagement to now provide unified support. So if you're in the office or you're at home, everyone can take part, and it can be a nice way to kind of bring everything together. So yeah, a really interesting time. And, you know, Pep Talk at its core is about building great culture in teams. And that's kind of our mission and what we're here to do. And we do that by enabling a technology platform to be deployed across managers, teams, and the organization itself then through data can understand what's happening. And to kind of give you a little example, recently we've been working with a global financial institution focusing on burnout as a topic, but it's more than just a topic. It's now going to be something that for the next month, the whole organization is going to focus on. So managers are going to advocate for this in terms of what we would describe as a team talk, which is what they commit to every month that has been part of the program. And that means not only understanding what burnout is, but understanding how to, you know, how to recognize it, but then how to create an environment where we can openly talk about that as a topic. And it, whether it's the way we're currently working, whether it's current the meeting environments we have, whether it's, you know, we're all feeling a bit of Zoom fatigue, whether there's too many meetings, you know, openly discussing those topics that are driving what this feeling is burnout, that's kind of a topic that we kind of focus a lot on. So that organization is bringing its entire workforce through a journey around understanding this topic, and they're sharing insights at a manager level. And then the employees and the teams get to take part in, I guess, a more fun employee-centric approach where they can share photographs of what they're doing to try and get a better habit into how they're approaching their day. They're able to gamify the whole experience, and they can get points for different interactions they have through what is a mobile application, and they engage around, and it's very community driven. And I think that's really important right now, that content and supports don't sit in isolation, that they're community driven, that there's a peer-to-peer element to what you do, because I think that's really what people are looking for. It's for a place to go where they feel safe, that they can trust their colleagues, and then they can get involved in various initiatives.
Sounds great, James. Mary, I know that we've been having some interesting chats with ourselves and with other people recently about employee wellness and engagement. And it does certainly seem like a hot topic at the moment, and for good reason. I mean, we're in the middle of a global crisis. But what do you think would be some of the benefits of adopting a data-driven approach in 2021?
Yeah, well, I guess probably the first thing to say is HR can be slow to embrace change and technology. And it's something that, you know, as HR practitioners, we really do need to, you know, focus more on and look at, well, what's out there in the marketplace and how can we do these things better. From a benefit of a data-driven approach, I mean, I think data analytics can help you unearth insights into behavior, and that very much feeds back into what James has been saying about Pep Talk and how they go about, you know, such a serious topic like burnout, which is, you know, not just the managers talking, but then looking at the data behind it and seeing what works and what doesn't work organizationally. And then that would allow HR to direct their resources and their time towards certain areas within the business and be able to come back in terms of the ROI. You know, what are we getting for the investment if we're able to come at it from a data perspective and demonstrate to the senior management team the benefit of some of the initiatives or some of the programs or the platform that we use. I think that would be, you know, really beneficial. And HR are moving in that direction. There's a lot of talk about data analytics in the HR arena at the moment. How many HR managers are embracing it or HR directors are embracing it? That's a whole different issue. James, I don't know if you have any view on that.
Yeah, no, listen, I think the theory behind things and the reality can sometimes, there is a little bit of a delta there. I think you're right. I think, listen, I think the biggest shift that we've seen in this area in the last 12 months has been, I suppose, the beginning of an acknowledgement that well-being needs to be more than a benefit. If it's perceived as a benefit, it sits outside the core culture of the organization. And I think what we've found, and I guess what we like to talk to HR leaders about is understanding that this is a culture driver for your organization, that it's more than just a benefit. And if you can perceive it as a culture driver and you look at it in terms of behaviors that we can impact upon and habits that we can begin to change, that's what will bring you your ROI. That's what will bring you your business impact. Simply bringing a well-being app into the organization, for example, with no real context and is perceived as a nice thing to have, will kind of just be seen as that. And that's always been a challenge in our industry. And I think where the world is now going, it's acknowledging that we're going to have to do more to foster and farm culture, because it's going to be harder to do it, because we're not going to be able to lean into the things we used to do. And that's where by perceiving it as a culture driver, I think for HR professionals, the opportunity is to really, this is a potentially a program or an activity that can be transformational across the organization. You know, at the moment we're building use cases for Pep Talk that is involving, you know, the VP of sales, the CFO, you know. So this is where you begin to look at what this program can deliver in terms of not only, you know, employee happiness and employee engagement, but productivity returns in terms of the actual ability of the organization to drive better engagement, happier staff, better productivity, and a better overall performance. So I think what we find is by raising up our expectations of what this program can do, and by engaging with other leaders in the organization and HR being obviously a key part of that, but by adding a use case to bring in, you know, that it's not just about bringing well-being in for well-being's sake, we're bringing it in to deal with particular challenges that we have in an organization. And I think by coming at it from that frame of thought, that's the potential transformational opportunity, I think, for HR professionals right now to really have a very kind of compelling conversation, I guess, with the senior leaders in a business.
Yeah, well, I think it does come back to, from HR leadership perspective, having a very clear and measurable goal. You know, what am I actually trying to achieve here? And as you say, James, just, you know, purchasing any particular platform without a clear goal in mind right at the outset about what we're trying to achieve as an organization. And then that idea that we need to focus on the things that employees are already doing so that it's customized very much to our organization to try and improve and enhance the behaviors culturally for any organization, and then to measure it. You know, what are we actually getting back out of it? And that's what I really like about Pep Talk, you know, the data analytics side, because, you know, that you're able to look at the benefit of the platform that you have in place. Yeah. In terms of gamification, I don't know a huge amount about it. I've read, like other HR leaders, stuff about it. But what is it? From your perspective, how does it work in Pep Talk?
Yeah, I suppose the gamification element of what we're trying to do, it's around, again, it comes back to habit change. It comes back to the idea that for us, we want to make the experience for employees and teams that get involved in the Pep Talk platform, that there is an element of fun, that there's a reason for them to come back again and again and again. And naturally, gamification can support that. It can drive, certainly what we find at a team level, and we run a number of different, what we would call community initiatives, that again, you know, some of our larger clients would run kind of cross-country, you know, team challenges and competitions and experiences where gamification can naturally add a layer of, I guess, fun, excitement, energy, which I think we're all probably not, you know, looking for at the moment. So I think Fundamentally, the gamification piece, yeah, does enable an element of momentum and energy to be kind of driven through the overall solution at an individual level in terms of my own goals and what I'm trying to achieve. But then, you know, naturally at a more team level, that obviously leans into the whole kind of competition piece. And lastly, then from a data perspective, as the gamification can provide insights, it can provide insights on, you know, what managers and teams are getting involved, where they're getting involved, why are they really kind of, you know, what's driving their high engagement with this kind of different initiative. And maybe then on the flip, if there is particular parts of our organization that aren't getting involved, why is that happening as well? So the gamification just then becomes a nice data point as well, that you can begin to understand what's happening and what's not. So again, it doesn't answer all the challenges of an organization. But I think as well, you know, lastly, like, you know, employees are at the end of the day consumers. They're in different apps every day. They have an expectation that the experience they're going to have within Pep Talk will measure up to other experiences they're having with other apps they're enjoying. So I think gamification has just been on as something that most employees would certainly expect to see and would form part of their journey within Pep Talk.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I read some research recently that talked about millennials and how much more difficult it is to engage millennials with kind of traditional approaches from a HR perspective. And certainly from my experience of my own, you know, teenagers, you know, who are going to come into the workforce in the next, you know, 3 to 6 years kind of thing. And they're very much involved with their phone in every possible respect. Do you look at that group in any particular way yourself?
Yeah, no, it's a very big focus for organizations. And I think in some ways, the delta between a 19 or 20 year old and even a 30 year old or a 35 year old, in some ways, it's never been as big from a technology perspective. So I do think what we have found in terms of organizations, and some of them maybe that's, you know, traditional in their nature or traditional in their approach to how they engage with employees, I do think that sort of people or employee-centric approach is the way to engage them. So that's why Pep Talk, in some ways, we're very uncorporate. We don't look and feel like a corporate sort of solution in this world. We're not overly clinical. We're designing and we're very much focused on the preventative side of employee engagement. So we're trying to make this something that is fundamentally at its core is, you know, work can be engaging and fun. It's okay to say that word. So I think for that audience in particular, something that looks and feels like something that they might be interested in and consume in their own time, you know, I think that's where it needs to come from. And our experience in working with the organizations we work with, in particular those ones in, you know, financial services or, you know, fund administration, you know, slightly more traditional kind of verticals or industries, this has been a breath of fresh air. It's just been something that has felt different and looked different. And they've seen much higher levels of engagement, much higher levels of adoption by virtue of the fact that's what it is. It's not another corporate program being kind of pushed down on them. And I think you're right, for certainly that younger generation, even in how they consume content, you know, how do you approach the type of content you create? You know, it needs to be short, it needs to be sharp, it needs to have a very clear message. It needs to almost feel like they're watching it on Instagram or TikTok. You know, it needs to feel much more like how they learn and how they actually educate themselves right now. It's very, very different to even, I guess, how we have. So I think that's an emerging world, but it's something in terms of as we approach engagement that we need to really, really carefully consider. It's something we're very, very mindful of in Pep Talk.
And James, like, does your offering vary for different size businesses? I can imagine having a business with like 1,000 employees and having a business with 50 employees, there might be maybe a different approach that you take.
Yeah, no, totally. And I've been honest, I guess our core market is larger organizations, I suppose. On average, you know, the general kind of population base would be somewhere 300, 400 persons upwards would tend to be the type of organization that we would work with. And we do have one or two smaller, but again, I mean, that's kind of a, I guess, being honest, when we need organizations, they're all at a different kind of stage in their journey when it comes to this area. And I think that's the first piece that we try to understand where you're at on your journey. We spend a little bit of time then in what we just call, what we would describe as sort of discovery, where we're trying to understand what are the use cases, as I touched on earlier, as to why you'd like to bring Pep Talk into your organization. And then we build a business case around that. And for larger organizations, I think at the moment, obviously with a dispersed workforce, there tends to be, you know, for smaller organizations, maybe the challenge isn't quite as large, but it still is a challenge. But certainly for large organizations with geographically dispersed workforces at the moment, figuring out how they engage and kind of motivate their staff. And as I say, kind of really get after their culture right now is a focus. So we definitely probably lean into those larger organizations. And obviously in Ireland in particular, I guess there's a lot of large multinationals here with have, you know, HQs and their EMEA headquarters here in Ireland. So definitely when it comes to the solution we offer, which again is like that mobile application, the dashboard and the manager proposition, it's a pretty rounded out program for a large organization. And lots of organizations haven't really kind of got after this area yet. As we touched on, they can be a little bit kind of slow to come to the party, but I do believe actually 2021 is going to be a year when, as we kind of think about COVID and what's happening, like organizations are now figuring out how they're going to build an effective team in a post-COVID world, whereby we're going to have a different set of working norms. And I think that's the focus. It's strategically, you know, that you're bringing in something like us, not as a quick kind of solution. This is a kind of a long-term strategy. And I think that's an important piece as well, that this needs to be part of your, you know, a program of activities that you're running over the next number of years to, I guess, equip the world of work and your workplace to for what the future holds. So I think, you know, Pep Talk was built pre-COVID, and we always believed that the world of work needed a solution like this to help. COVID has naturally accelerated that, but I do think we're coming into a very interesting time now as organizations kind of look at how they're going to build their organization in a post-COVID world.
I think there's going to be a real change, because I don't think we're ever going to return to that concept of everybody back in an office space and because the, you know, employees have got used to working from home and business has seen that it's possible to work effectively from home. So you're going to have that real mix going forward into the future. So I do think apps and platforms like you're talking about have become very much more relevant. HR need to catch up. Mm. HR leadership need to catch up and really start to strategize around how to engage in a different way than they have done before. And it's really exciting to see, you know, HR embracing these kind of changes and developments.
Yeah, totally. And I think for us, the one probably piece of advice that we give in that process, it is to look as much at the cause as, you know, what's the root cause? Like, I think a lot of, you know, the symptoms right now that are emerging, obviously around, you know, well-being challenges that organizations have. I came up a little interesting stat. I think at the moment, your mental health at work has been Googled 5 times more regularly than people are Googling Kim Kardashian at the moment. So it's, I think, 1 billion searches versus 200 million. So in terms of mental health at work and its presence in mainstream media and I guess mainstream thoughts right now, it couldn't be any more topical. But I think on the whole, looking at the environment by which the organization currently kind of approaches this area, that to just not look at the symptoms and just try and solve for the symptoms by putting in what would be seen as maybe ad hoc measures or quick wins, you know, let's get a talk done or let's get a speaker in to address potentially we're hearing that people are struggling with setbacks. Let's get in someone to talk about that. And that will provide some level of support, but we need to kind of go a little, for us, a layer deeper than that and understand what are the behaviors and what's driving that. And I think that's sort of the opportunity right now, is to really look at our organization, look at the culture we're trying to build. You know, and an interesting area that's coming up a lot at the moment is even around career progression, and this idea that pre-COVID social norms would usually be the people that, you know, you develop friendships and relationships with people, and those kind of obviously help you in your ability to get ahead in work and promote yourself, because you become part of the, you know, you become friends and that whole piece. And I think that's an interesting kind of dynamic whereby the people who come to the office more regularly, do they in some ways, do they kind of get ahead, or are they perceived as being ahead of the people who want to maybe work remotely more often because of either family situations? So again, the organization then needs to figure out, how do we kind of create a unified cultural kind of framework where we don't have that bias against people that aren't coming to the office as much. And again, that's where I think solutions like Pep Talk enable that sort of enable you to tangibly represent and give opportunities for people to get after their culture and showcase it and share it and bring it to life. You know, culture is one of these things, it's kind of out there, but actually tangibly kind of modeling the behaviors that you believe are important to the organization. And I think, you know, well-being for loads of different reasons is coming up as a topical area in organizations, as we know. But I think it's a really interesting dynamic around that whole kind of sort of social fabric of the company. And obviously a lot of the friendships that we've made in organizations have been built pre-COVID as well. And I do think that still needs to be played out. You know, we've gone into this environment, joint experiment, but there's definitely something where there, you know, I think this year has been more challenging again. I think it's harder and harder for people to, they do miss that human connection and that meaningful kind of collaborative environment that you do get at times.
Yeah, and I guess particularly when you're talking about organizations that may be taking in large numbers of graduates every year, and you know, they have very clearly defined programs which involve people largely being on site and in groups together and things like that. And when you think about, you know, bringing in new people into organizations, HR are really struggling with that from an induction perspective. You know, there's that social piece of it. You know, what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? And while maybe in 2020, it was okay to take a kind of ad hoc, we're in a crisis mode, you know, we'll make do and we'll do the best we can. I think there needs to be far more strategy involved now at this stage in terms of, okay, you know, are we likely to get back to the same way of working in the future? And I believe that's gone. And so we need to really radically overhaul our approach to, you know, in introducing new people into our businesses. How are we going to do it? And how are we going to engage them socially?
I think as well, it's the leadership within an organization that's really important for kind of driving that cultural change. James, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the Leadership Lab, because it's something that I've come across Pep Talk doing. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, no, delighted to. Yeah, I guess it kind of probably talks to a little about what we've been chatting about. I think if you want to bring in a program or something like what we're talking about today in the well-being and engagement space, the owners of culture and organizations primarily are managers. So if you don't engage them and you don't make them part of what fundamentally is a change management project, you're trying to change something, you're trying to change behaviors and habits to make things better. Yeah, you know, it's probably not going to land the way you want it. So I do think the Leadership Lab, I guess it's designed to enable team leaders to, one, learn in the moment. So learn in a more practical way. So learn in the flow of work, you know, so it isn't as structured as a leadership program. It's more so, here's small bite-sized learning opportunities for you delivered in your as you say, kind of true technology that you can access in real time. And then there's practical things to do in your week or in your month. And I think that's a really important piece of our solution, and I guess how organizations I think need to think about this type of area, that the program, you know, in terms of your well-being offering or what sort of sustainable solution you're going to offer people on an ongoing basis. Now the manager has something that he can advocate for, because oftentimes the challenge is we want you to be more empathetic, we want you to lead in a different way, but actually how do we provide the supports to enable that to happen? So that's where the Leadership Lab, in terms of the, you know, what we would describe as our downloadable toolkits, enable managers to have a better conversation amongst their team, enable managers to facilitate an environment where people can kind of develop up a level of trust and psychological safety in their group by virtue of the fact that we're having conversations that aren't all about work. The challenge at the moment is all the channels that are work collaboration tools tend to just naturally just become work-related tools because we need them to get our work done. But we have to remember that we're kind of social beings and we're human beings. And I think that's where the leader has an onus. Listen, again, like, we have organizations that are now KPIing managers on their on what they're doing every month to manage the well-being of their team. Now, that's kind of an organization that's a little bit further down the curve. But if you want to embed habits and you want for this to be kind of perceived as an essential part of how we're going to get the best out of people, it does need to begin to exist within the framework that the organization has, you know. So it does need to be something that a manager needs to be aware of, that this is really, really important, and it's not just a nice to have, it's an essential part of how we're going to drive engagement across our teams and across our organization, which is obviously over time going to roll up into a better performing organization. And I think for managers, there is at times that little bit of a delta between, let's call it, well-being and performance, and closing that delta and understanding that by spending time thinking about this topic. And then the beauty of this is now you have a program to kind of advocate for and talk about, that it's not just in isolation, that the whole thing begins to knit together. That's a really important point. So yeah, no, we think there's a ton of opportunity and a real appetite right now for organizations, and managers tend to be underserved a little bit. They're kind of always they're feeling it themselves. But then I suppose they're also been asked to engage their team and motivate and inspire. So at times I do feel sorry for the manager. They're kind of getting it from all sides right now. But I think that therein lies the opportunity.
So guys, that's about all we have time for. But before we wrap up, I wanted to ask James, what's your advice to employers managing their people during these challenging times?
Yeah, I guess start with talking to the teams, talking to employees, pulsing your teams. Again, there's no better way of understanding what exactly is going on in your organization than by trying to examine what's the mood, what's the pulse. And again, through that kind of data and insights, we can begin to then understand what exactly is driving these feelings. Is it the way we're working? Is it the style of our managers? Is it potentially how we're, you know, is emails coming in at all times of night? Is that causing a lot of anxiety? So I think firstly, start from a point of data and begin then to build out from that. So once you begin to understand maybe what's driving some of the themes that are emerging from your data and your insight, that's when you can sit down and say, right, here's how we're going to build a strategy around this. And this is how we recognize that we need to engage different levers to do that. So I would recommend is definitely maybe not jump into let's kind of get a person in, or let's do a talk, or let's just throw loads of things against the wall and see what happens. Maybe a slightly more thoughtful approach, you know, getting out there and you know, with technology these days, there's a ton of ways you can grab that data in terms of the mood of the organization, and from that, hopefully, you know, deliver more impactful and relevant solutions for your organization.
Great. And if people want to learn more about Pep Talk, what should they do next?
Yeah, I suppose the easiest way is probably the website. So www.peptalkhq.com. We'd be delighted to, I guess, initially set up a bit of a discovery conversation. They can kind of book time with myself and the rest of the team through the website. We'd love to kind of chat understand their challenges, and as I say, get under the hood of what's driving the need to have the conversation and how we might be able to help. But delighted to obviously chat to anyone who's interested in potentially looking at a solution in this space.
Brilliant. And thanks so much for joining us today, James. It's been great chatting with you.
No worries. Thanks again for the opportunity, and the best of luck with the rest of the series of the podcast.
Thanks for joining us today on the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR that helps you create the human resources systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, go to www.insighthr.ie/podcast. That's www.insighthr.ie/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe, like, and share the show with any friends and colleagues who are looking for fresh ideas on how to create the ideal workplace for their business. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or an on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Thanks, and see you soon.